Robinson. Ames was played by Roger Allam. Lila, Elizabeth McGovern, and their son John was Taryn Stanzler. Glory was played by Nancy Crane, Boughton, Colin Stinton, and Jack was Elliot Cowan. Gilead was adapted by Mike Kenny, directed by Annie Castledine, and is a Catherine Bailey production for BBC Radio 3.
With music composed and arranged by Stephen Warbeck and Isabel Waller-Bridge, Gilead was first broadcast in 2010. Next Sunday evening, another chance to hear Largo Desolato by Václav Havel. Our drama on 3 at the same time, 8:30, next Sunday evening, here on Radio 3.
The power of forbidden love.
1,000 times good night.
The empty ache of sorrow.
This thing of darkness, I acknowledge mine.
The majesty of joy.
I pray thee, gentle mortal, sing again.
How did one man capture all it is to be human? Shakespeare Unlocked. On TV, on radio, online, across the BBC.
Here on BBC Radio 3, Claire Martin is here in an hour's time with Jazz Lineup. That's at 11:10. Now, though, it's time for World Roots, an edition of the programme first broadcast in May last year and presented by Rita Ray.
This week we're in the city of Edinburgh, the Athens of the North, so called because it was once a major hub of the Enlightenment and it's still a great centre of learning. Today at the city's Usher Hall, we're going to be educated and switched on to a brand of music called Afrobeat. This music was created by one of Africa's most celebrated and controversial artists, Fela Kuti, and this has become his family's trademark. Headlining the African Soul Rebels tour, Fela's youngest son, Sheyun, takes to the stage with his father's band, Egypt 80. This is the same band that Sheyun played with at the age of 8, and 19 years later, he is the leader of the band. Playing songs from his brand new album, produced by Brian Eno, From Africa with Fury, Rise. We'll be right back.
This one is called Slave Masters, everybody. When you walk up, my brother, just look at your back.
Look your back.
When you walk up, my sister,
Our ear don't fool for your words. Our stomachs feel empty. Our ear don't fool for your words. Our stomachs feel empty. Our ear don't fool for your words. Our stomachs feel empty. Our ear don't fool for your words. Our stomachs feel empty.
Down.
Some deep in the bowels of the Usher Hall, the conductor's suite, sneaking a couple of minutes from Seyun Kuti before he goes on stage. Seyun, welcome to World Roots.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
When I hear the name Kuti, I think of Afrobeat, the style of music that your father created. For those of us who don't know, could you tell us what Afrobeat is?
Well, I think you should have said, you know, when you hear Anikolapo Kuti, because I think Kuti, that the family itself is great for so many things other than music. You know, my great-grandfather had a book published about him here in the UK. He had a recording as well, you know.
And your grandmother was a real human rights activist.
Yeah, I think she turned the family political as well, because before her, everybody in the family was kind of towing the line. So, but, you know, now with Afrobeat music, I think it brings that political part of the family out, you know. It makes it musical. My dad, being a musician, you know, tried to speak for his people with Afrobeat, so it was created for this reason. You know, Afrobeat was created to give the people of Africa a voice.
And how important are lyrics to Afrobeat?
Oh, wow. I think, you know, just like any genre, lyrics are extremely, you know, important. You know, it's just that in commercial music, it is catchy lyrics that's important, and in Afrobeat it is a message in your lyrics that's important, you know.
And talking about the message, your family have been activists and protesters crying out against oppression and injustice and corruption for more than 40 years now. And unfortunately, the political climate then is kind of similar to the political climate now. I'd like to know how you're going to change things, how you're going to make a difference.
Well, I think the difference I'm making is that I'm making my music and I'm talking about it. You know, I don't envision like, oh, my music is going to change the world. Da, 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 da. No, I just play my music to do my part, you know. I think my father had it tough, you know, because during his time, he was the only person thinking like that. You know, he was a revolutionary in his thinking. Not a lot of people believed what he was saying. Because, you know, most people were just freshly moving from the rural areas to Lagos, and there were a few more opportunities than there was today. Things were cheaper for people. People could afford things, you know. And they said, oh, what's this fella man talking about? He's just trying to stir trouble. So the government could easily, you know, pass their propaganda about him across. And he was doing a lot of things that were not Africans weren't used to. You know, because a lot of Africans were exposed in 1970, trust me. Probably we didn't have 10,000 graduates in the whole continent at 1970. You know, so you have to realize, Fela is someone that, you know, he's been around the world already at a young age. You know, he's smoking marijuana, living with plenty of women, you know. Things that are usual for rock stars in the West, but, you know, not for, in Africa, you know. So it was easy for people to play him off. Oh, he's crazy. He's just a bad man trying to give your kids bad influence and that. You know, but now in my time, you know, more people understand what's going on. More people have seen the world. You know, more people are educated, and you know, Africa is developing rapidly in terms of the minds of the people. You know, independently, not because of our education from the government, but our suffering is educating us in Africa thoroughly, and people are beginning to understand what's really going on. You know, and I think to be a part of this for me, it's important. You know, not necessarily because, you know, I see my music as being the ultimate changing catalyst, you know, but I see my part as being played, you know, and the more I can do this, the more I'll continue to do it, and I hope a lot of people catch on, because it's not a Kuti affair. The liberation of Africa and the speaking up of Nigeria is not a Kuti affair. I feel everybody should be involved, you know. It just takes time for them to become as passionate as we were. You know, you have to realize I was brought up in this. You know, so I actually understand it was like an education for me. Most people don't have that privilege, you know, but now on their own, they're discovering, and there's a lot of interest in what's going on in Africa now from the youth of Africa themselves.
I remembered the fact that your father said that music was the weapon, and you have been creating a music using the form of Afrobeat to get your message out there. And your new album is called From Africa with Fury, Rise. So, I mean, right there, there's a huge, huge statement. So I'd like to kind of get from you what your creative process was in making this album.
It was time to make the album, you know, and, you know, when lyrically, you know, for the album, you know, you have to study your environment, as I said, you know. I study African politics, I study people of Africa, I live with the common people of Africa every day. I don't live in some high-class area, you know. I live where I was born, where I've grown up all my life, that's where I still live, you know. So I still see people struggling every day, trying to make things happen, you know. So I draw inspiration from them, you know. I like to get inspiration from what's around me. That's what goes to help me write my music.
And you said you like to have the live feel in your recording. So did you record these songs live all together?
Yeah. In Brazil, we all sat down, you know, and after the, you know, I finished my second world tour on the first album. It was 2 years already. It was 2010, and my first album came out.
Many Things.
Yeah, 08, you know, and I was like, it's 2010, and we need to start working on an album, you know.
So you recorded these songs live, and then you took them to Brian Eno. Why was it that you took it to Brian Eno?
Well, I didn't take it to him per se. I already asked him, you know, and he said I could bring it, you know, so. And I think it was Brian Eno because I just broke up with my old record label and my management, you know. So when I was recording this album, I had no record label and no money. And Brian was the only one that was ready to do it for free, you know, so that put him on top of the list.
And what did he bring to this album?
He did a lot of things on the music, you know. Went from being a good live CD, good live music to a good live CD, you know. Playing live music and making a live CD, two different things. I think he made it a really good live CD.
I'd like to just quickly talk about Egypt 80.
Okay.
You first started playing with them when you were 8 years old.
Long time, 20 years now.
How did you make the transition from you being the young boy who was playing around and then fronting the band to now being the leader of the band? I mean, how did you manage that?
I can honestly say, like, there was no effort to it at all. I was 8. I was already opening the shows for my dad, singing with the band. So when he died and the family tried to shut the band down, all I did was say, oh, you can shut the band down, because I'm still playing with them and I would like to continue playing with them. And he was like, okay, you can play with them, just don't come here and ask us for any assistance because we don't think it's a viable, blah, 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 blah. And we kept playing, and it took us a long time, about 10 years, to actually gather momentum and gain interest and be able to break and come get a record deal and go on tours and start making any money. It took 10 years, but we just kept playing. And when it was time, when we're out, I think the only time I'm the leader of the band is when we have to do things like this. You know, like, you're the leader, go and talk to the press. Yeah.
And could you just tell me who the longest serving members of the band are?
No, I think my band actually has the longest serving member of any band in the world today, with Baba Ani, who's just Leko Ani Mashaun, 46 years in the band now. So wow. I think that says it all.
You've been playing Afrobeat since you were 8 years old. It's been part of you since you were born. Now, you've went to university, you studied music and performance, drama. You've been in different types of band and played different types of music. Why, when you could have made a quick getaway into something else, did you embrace Afrobeat?
Growing up as a kid, you know, I really didn't fancy Afrobeat much, because I realized really that Afrobeat is not just music, it's a way of life. You know, you play Afrobeat music, then you can only send a certain kind of message, live a certain kind of life, and achieve a certain kind of success. So, you know, it took my adult mind of, you know, I was 21, 22, to make the decision of actually saying, yeah, you know, I think Afrobeat is the way to go. You know, you have to make sacrifices to achieve something. So that is why I actually chose Afrobeat, because I actually started believing more and more in what he stood for, not as Fela's son, but as an artist that wants something to happen for his people. Thank you.
Odela, Odela, Shori Kondo, Oshé Kumbembe, Mr. Blinkton, Mr. Blinkton, Mr. Blinkton, Mr. Blinkton,
Oh, when you cheat and steal and backstab your brother, when you break him house down to build your home, you when you cheat and steal and rape our sister, when you killing children with no remorse, when you send our men and women to war to die and kill for what you believe in. They want to see a brighter day. Children playing nothing. I want to see a happy face. With the nation growing, hiding. You want to make it easy to hide from. You try to hide away. And you go, hey, get up.
Original African music. original African music.
Run by Sheyoun Kuti, fronting Egypt 80, and he is being all over the stage, dancing, firing off his incendiary Afrobeat message and his wonderful Afrobeat rhythms. Horns, dancing girls, and the remarkable Babani on keyboards. At 74, he's still going strong, dancing and enjoying himself, and the audience have lapped it up. They are demanding more, and yes, they're going to do another number.
Thank you.
Mosquito's song by Soon Kuti and Egypt 80, ending today's edition of World Roots. It was presented by Rita Ray and produced by Sam Hickling. And the programme was first broadcast on Radio 3 in May last year.
BBC 4 discovers how great minds don't always think alike. Featuring the paleontologist Professor Jenny Clack.
It does sometimes do to think about things you take for granted. What if it's not this way, but it's the other way?
The Nobel physicist, Professor André Gide.
To search for new phenomena, you have to stray from the trodden path.
And the evolutionary biologist, Professor Richard Dawkins.
I try to emphasise that science is magical in the best sense.
Beautiful Minds, this Wednesday night at 9 on BBC 4.
Here on BBC Radio 3, there's Music Through the Night with Jonathan Swain from 11:30. But now, with the time at just after 11:10, Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. Inspired by rock grooves and jazz legends, Get the Blessing join us to talk about their new CD, OCDC, and you're hearing a bit of it now. Concert set this week is saxophonist Konrad Wisniewski and his quintet in an exclusive BBC session. All that on this week's Jazz Lineup. A slightly shorter programme this week, so full speed ahead with new discs and some classic recordings from 1995 to 2003 from composer and arranger Mike Gibbs with the NDR Big Band. The opening track sets the pace with guesting soloist Gary Burton on vibes and Stephen Diez on guitar. This is Gibbs' own tune, The Time Has Come.
No.
The Time Has Come. That was the NDR Big Band featuring Gary Burton on vibes and Stephen Dietz on guitar, with Michael Gibbs directing the band on this, his own composition. It's a good album from Cuneiform Records, as it charts Michael's tunes, as I mentioned, from 1995 to 2003, and features a number of the great British drummers, including Mark Mondaisi, Ian Thomas and Martin France. Definitely one to enjoy over and over again. Jazz Lineup have just recorded two concert sets at the annual Steinway Piano Festival held at the Pizza Express in Soho, London. You'll be hearing the first of those two sets in a couple of weeks' time. One of the duettists featured is pianist John Turville, and we check him out now from his current CD, Midas. This is his trio with Chris Hill on bass and Ben Reynolds on the drums, and this is the standard All or Nothing at All.